Hello, and thank you for joining me again for this new episode of the Farcom Podcast. I do want to apologize for the delay in getting this episode out. In short, I have what is known as an acoustic neuroma, which is a tumor growing behind my right eardrum. Due to this tumor, there's a significant chance I will go deaf one day, so it does command my attention as I have been running tests with the doctors to try and see what's the best course of action to save my hearing, which right now is just to wait and watch and to look at hearing aids. It should be noted that I'm deaf in my left ear, so if my right ear goes out due to the tumor, that'll be it for hearing. So obviously want to change that, and then combine that with work and also family. It's taken a great deal of time, but it is what it is, and I am really looking forward to talking about Demon Sports again. And we're going to start off this week looking at my former team, the NSU track team. And freshman Sanaria Butler broke the school record in the 400-meter dash at the Leon Johnson Invitational this weekend, running a blistering 52.22. And she reminds me a lot of former Demon track star Terry Gatson, who is a phenomenal freshman from Northwestern out of C.E. Byrd High School in Shreveport, and eventually transferred to University of Arkansas. When you combine her with Megan Shaw, Vanessa Baldy, and Sienna Weller, it gives the Lady Demon track team a deadly combination in sprint events and allows them to have the possibility of racking up a lot of points in those events and hopefully building a big lead as the later events come on in the outdoor track championships. Oh, and by the way, they also broke the school record in a 4x400 together and are the top-ranked relaying team in the Southland and are nationally ranked 36th in the nation right now. So, yeah, they're pretty darn good. Under Coach Leon Johnson, the Demons are able to build a dynasty by having dominant sprint and field events, and this blueprint has been followed to perfection by Coach Mike. And both Lady Demons and Demons, I feel, have a great chance to bring home some hardware, and I'll cover more about the Demon track team next week. But if you do watch those Coach Johnson teams, it really does have that same feel to them. And when you look at how Southeastern was able to rise up and become a good track program themselves, it was by building up the sprint teams. And the reason being is that in Louisiana, you do have a higher quality of sprinters as compared to distance runners. Not that there aren't good distance runners in Louisiana, but when you compare Louisiana to Texas, there really is no comparison as far as distance running goes. However, we do have, I find, more quality in those sprints, so that is something you do want to pay attention to. Being in Louisiana school, Southeastern did a great job following it. UL Lafayette does a great job following it as well. Louisiana Tech, LSU, they all, again, build the same way, and of course, Northwestern. So it is a good MO to follow. And a big thing with track being a low visibility sport, it's not something you see on TV a lot, is why is it important to have a good track team? First off is the visibility. You do win championships, you do get some good press from that. A second thing, it doesn't cost a lot of money to have a track team. It's a low money discipline. It's something that you don't require a lot of equipment to have. Even though there is some track equipment, most of it can be reused year after year. And the biggest thing is that you can work in conjunction with other sports and help other sports. For instance, you look at men's track and football, you can get guys who are good sprinters but also good wide receivers. So you work with football, you can do a half scholarship from track, a little bit from football. You can pull together your resources and help each other out, which is how we were able to get some really good players in the past for Northwestern football that were also great track athletes, such as, you know, Ronnie Powell, to give an example. And there's many more other than him, but he is one. Of course, Tommy McClellan, now the assistant athletic director at Vanderbilt, was another one that was a joint football slash track athlete. And again, it's really good to see those people come in, and that does help not only football, but you look at it, we've had people double in track and volleyball, for example. So it does help other sports. So that's why it is important. And when I do feel Northwestern track does better, I think it does elevate the other sports as well because of that interesting and unique dynamic that track and field has with other sports. Moving on to the Diamond, both Demon Baseball and Lady Demon Softball find themselves kind of in the same predicament right now. While both have shown flashes of being a great team, neither has put together, I feel, a complete series so far, and both are kind of stuck in the middle of the pack right now. The Lady Demons are coming off a two-game series win over Corpus Christi. Maggie Dora put in some effective innings, giving Lady Demons two complete games over the last two weekends. Unfortunately, one was a nine-inning game, which I thought she pitched well, just unfortunately couldn't pull it out, which I didn't find was all her fault, before having a rough outing against Sunday against Corpus Christi. But I do like the way Maggie Dora approached the game. I don't think even when she was giving up runs that it was due to her pitching poorly. It's just you got to give credit sometimes to your opponent for hitting good shots. But I, you know, do like that she put in those innings. And when you come to the conference tournament, having someone like a Maggie Dora who can put in those innings game after game in a short order is going to be a huge boon for the Lady Demons. And you compare them to last year, and it's kind of a mixed bag. Offensively, the Lady Demons lacked the power of last year, only hitting seven home runs compared to 32 total last year, with, of course, three games remaining in the softball season. But they've been much effective moving runners around, scoring 188 runs so far with six games left compared to 177 all of last year, and batting 271 compared to 267 last year. So to me, that shows a better offensive team, as a lot of those runs are coming from manufacturing runs instead of just hitting a home run. And I do like it. It's small ball compared to gorilla ball, but I do think in tournament play sometimes that can be more effective, as in tournament play, you're not going to always get those home run shots. You're going to have to manufacture more runs as you're going to be facing the best pitchers game after game. Baseball is a very similar story coming off of a two-game series win over UIW. Much like the softball team, the offense have been much more productive, but have yet to find that consistent pitching. The Demons have improved pitching, to be fair. Pitching right now 5.28 ERA compared to 5.54 last year. For comparison, though, the 2018 Demon squad that went to Oregon State had the lead over LSU going into the ninth. That team had a 3.41 ERA, so it is something that does need to continue to improve, but it is positive to see some improvement. But we do need that consistency, and you'll see, and I don't want to single out anybody, but you see pitchers have two, 3 weekends in a row where they're just knocking down the opponent, striking out people left and right, giving good 5-6 quality innings. And then they'll come back the, you know, in that third or fourth weekend, give a 5 or 6 runs in 2 innings and not even get into the third. So it is something that does need to be addressed for the Demon baseball team. Offensively, the Demons are hitting 272 compared to 251 last year, which is good. And they are on pace to score more runs and hit more home runs than last season. And again, as with last year and softball this year, we just need that consistency pitching. Looking at them both as a whole, I find a bright spot is that both pitching staffs have the talent needed. They just need to find what needs to be tweaked. And if they can come together, I believe they can become a force in tournament time. And again, I like the staffs we have. I think the talent's there. We just got to put it together. Going to have a quick word from our sponsor and then discuss how the basketball team is shaping up under Coach Cabrera and look at the Delaney Bowl. The Demon basketball team today announced the signing of 6'7" forward Addison Patterson from Ontario. He was a top 100 recruit coming out of high school and was a leading scorer last year under Coach Cabrera at Tallahassee Community College. In addition to Patterson, the Demons have also signed guard Chase Forte, forward Jamel Lane, and center J.C. Riley. I'm really intrigued by the way this roster is taking shape, as Coach Cabrera is building a very athletic and very lengthy team, with three of the signees being 6'7" and above. Watching his prior teams, his offensive style reminds me of the Lakers with Kobe Bryant. Essentially, you spread the court out, and then you have Kobe or your guard get in isolation and then drive in. And it's really an inside-out game at that point. Once that guard drives in, the offense moves behind him, setting up either a drive to the basket, depending on the matchup he has, or he can dish it to the outside, or someone cutting back in. It's a really dynamic offense, and it has a lot of moving pieces. When you first see it, it looks really simplistic because it's just everyone spreads, someone drives in, and then there's a pass or, you know, drive into the hoop. But when you start looking at the complexities of the offense, it's very diverse. It's a offense I like to watch. If you have a chance, go check out Tallahassee Community College. A lot of their games are online. You can see what I'm talking about if you do watch their teams play. With the players he's added, it makes me very excited to see how the Demons are going to look next year. And I wouldn't be surprised to see us make a run at the conference title if the team comes together the way I think it will come together. And a great thing about what I'm seeing is last year I thought one of our weaknesses, and Corpus Christi exploited a lot, was teams were able to kind of go in inside on us. We lacked that size. Even though we had great playmakers, we did lack that inside presence at times. With the team we have now, you look at players 6'7", 6'9", and you fill the court with that. It should help us a lot with the rebounding and preventing what happened to us against Corpus Christi. And that's why Corpus Christi beat us for games in a row. We simply had no answer for them inside. So we can take that inside presence, hopefully get some outside presence. And the players he has look like they can stretch the court pretty well. I'm not sure there'll be anybody that necessarily has the playmakers of Javonte Black. That remains to be seen. But you won't need that if you can control that rim, get those dribble drives, inside out play, get it to players on the edge, have players cutting in, and you're going to have a dynamic offense. I like the way it's shaping up. But again, it's not better or worse than what we had last year or under Coach McConathy, but it's a different style and one I think people really are going to enjoy. And if you get a chance, just go check out the Kobe Bryant Lakers after Shaquille O'Neal left, back when he had Paul Gasol. And I do believe you kind of see, at least what I'm seeing here, in that same kind of dynamic system being run under Coach Cabrera and what the Lakers ran back then. The Joe Delaney Bowl was this past weekend, and I tend not to put too much stock in the spring games, as coaches use them more to evaluate players in situations to see the fundamentals. And they don't usually run much more than base plays. You're not going to have any exotic formations in this. You're not going to have quarterbacks doing a lot of running in this. Again, you want to keep everyone healthy. So that's the main thing, is just to develop your team and then to use this to assess what are the strengths to build upon and what weaknesses do we need to improve. I was, however, pleased to see Tyler VanderWaal, who finished 9 of 17 passing with 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, and 239 yards passing. There was a lot less running at the quarterback spot this scrimmage compared to last year with Zachary Clinton under center. And while some of that is due to reduced injury in that spring game, to me it appears the Demons may transition into more spread passing attack from what was kind of a read option RPO style offense of the last few years. And again, that's just you have different players with different styles. And VanderWaal seems to be more of a Joe Burrow type of quarterback, where he does have that athleticism, but he'll do more picking you apart and making good reads or nice underneath throws. Had a good touch, I think, on his deep passes, as opposed to Zachary Clement, who he's going to be more of a you build around him running, and then popping it over the defense once they come up, which Zachary Clement did a great job for, and I do wish him the best at Southeastern. He was a heck of a player. But again, really excited. And what I saw defensively, I thought we looked really good. Again, it's hard to get a read in these spring games, but tackling wise looked solid. It looked like they were in position. Didn't look like a lot of guys were too out of position. Offensive line, which I thought we had some weaknesses at times last year, they looked good. Didn't look like there was anybody just kind of wandering around or any really missed assignments. And that's across the field, both offensively and defensively. It looked like we really were disciplined compared to last year, and I do like that. So again, not trying to put too much stock in these games, but that is very encouraging heading into next year. And Coach Laird, he loves Northwestern, and it's gonna, hopefully it'll work out for him. I think his plan was disrupted with COVID year happening, and I'm not trying to make too many excuses, but I do believe that the blueprint for Northwestern he had kind of was disrupted a bit, and now it's finally starting to get those pieces in. So really do hope that this is the year I expect it to be, and I do think the Demons will be competitive. You look at the schedule, it's very fortuitous. You got the Cajuns, you've got Louisiana Tech, so it's an interesting dynamic, and we'll talk about that as it gets closer to football season. But definitely I think a successful spring season for Northwestern. I think it was a good spring camp. Definitely have some things we looked at. The coaches, I think, we're able to get some good feel for what the team will be next year. So now the next thing for the Demon football team and also basketball is, if you're a player coming into the season next year, use the summer to, you know, improve on your weaknesses, to get stronger, get better, learn the systems. And for both coaches, both Coach Cabrera and Coach Laird, it's to, okay, you see what you have now. Now it's time to put those pieces together, formulate your game plan, and come out next year and hopefully win a conference title. I do thank you for listening. I'll try to do my best, and I have such a long break between episodes again. It's really enjoyable bringing these episodes out, and the viewership is really cool to see how many people are watching. I've had over 1,600 views, or listens, I should say, of this podcast since I started, which is really awesome. Never expected it to be that much, so it does warm my heart to see that every time. I really do hope you have a great week. Please stay safe, cheer on the Demons, and as always, Farkum Demons.